This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Serving up a veritable feast of information, heaping portions of Sky News at the top and bottom of every hour.
This is delicious.
If you're hungry for information and hearty talk, thank you for joining us at our table. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 8:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. Gators beating Ole Miss. Big time, 24-17. Go Gators! Bucks won over the Giants. Dolphins beat the Patriots. And there was even a Trumpy dance. So good things going on there. Much more to talk about coming our way, but very important subject matter now. As we welcome our friend Luis Valdez, representative for Gun Owners of America. Luis, good morning. How you doing?
Cold. Did you guys leave the freezer door open this past weekend?
No, it wasn't me. I was enjoying this weather, actually cruising to the beach with a convertible top down.
I guess the cold we're feeling is the cold shoulder the Republican leadership has given gun owners again.
Can you believe it? Ben Albritton, he's the incoming Senate president, and he basically said, I'm not in favor of open carry because, you know, neither is law enforcement, and apparently Florida Sheriff's Association, he claims they have a position on it. They're against it, but I thought you told us they didn't.
Yeah, they even stated in a recent article they don't have a position on open carry right now. So it's real interesting that he's pulling that law enforcement Trump card, just like his predecessor, Kathleen Passidomo, did. And, you know, the funny thing is, as a former cop myself, open carry would actually be beneficial for cops because we'd get to see who was armed. I mean, 45 other states have it. Is Albritton basically saying that Florida cops are too stupid to deal with a law-abiding armed individual?
I think he's just using it as some kind of a little of an escape clause, because they really don't have a position on it. So he doesn't really, I mean, he can't really defend his position. I think he's one of those people. He just doesn't feel good about it.
Well, he's clearly shown where he stands on the issue, and he's smacked gun owners in the face. Gun owners who gave Republicans a resounding victory this past election cycle, who sent lawmakers to Tallahassee with a Second Amendment mandate. And he smacked them in the spate and spit on them.
Yeah, doesn't need him now. He's there. He's the incoming Senate president. So yeah, all of a sudden, thanks. I'm here now. I don't need you.
This is the danger of term limits. He's term limited. Kathleen Passidomo was term limited. And when when lawmakers are term limited, they don't have to listen to their constituency. They don't have to fear being voted out of office. They can do whatever they want. And in Albritton's case, his district represents a fairly rural part of Florida. I mean, it has DeSoto County in it, where last I checked, there's more cattle and orange groves than there are people. So
true.
The fact that he is saying that, oh, he's against open carry and he's against this and he's against campus carry and all that, you know, it's not even like Passidomo's excuse that she came from the rich part of southwest Florida that had a bunch of Northeasterners moved down there. No, he's from good old boy, real Florida cracker country. And the fact that he is taking this position shows us where the political machine of the Florida Republican Party stands.
Remember, I told you we had a conversation with the governor at the very end. I said, we were talking about the weed amendment, and I said, really, rather than the weed thing, I'd rather have open carry. And he, like, stopped what he was doing, and he said, well, hang on. You just might get, you know, what you want this session. Does this come as a surprise, do you think, to the governor of all Britain's position, or is this something the governor already knew? And if it is, why would he say that?
You know, I think the governor was definitely on board with open carry, and reading the political tea leaves, both the House and the Senate, they're wanting to lame duck Governor DeSantis. There's no more political quid pro quo between the governor and the legislature. Since the governor is term limited and he failed his bid for the White House, he has nothing to offer them. And in return, they basically have said, you know what, fine, we're going back to the good old rhino Republican establishment ways of doing what we want to do. This past couple of weeks, the governor wanted to call a special session to tackle property insurance and the condo crisis again. The legislative leadership told him, no, go fly tight. We're not going to do this.
Wow.
So what you're seeing is you're seeing the Republican establishment in the legislature turn against DeSantis, turn against the will of the people, turn against gun owners, turn against the very mandate that Floridians sent lawmakers to Tallahassee for, and that is for more freedoms, less government interference in their lives.
Yeah, the lawmakers have enjoyed this being a red state, and they've registered so many more Republicans than they have Democrats. So, you know, you've got the numbers on your side, and that's how they thank everybody, is going back to the old school entrenched position that most of us absolutely hate.
Yeah, it's appalling, it's insulting, it's degrading. And it just shows you how much of a political machine exists in Florida. We are the Republican version of California. It's a supermajority state where the lawmakers, once they're in office, they don't listen to the constituency. They don't listen to different organizations that help get them into office. They don't listen to the issues. They don't care. And in the end, all they're there to do is kick the can down the road and make money off it. And that's what we see, the same problem in Washington, D.C. We see the same problem in other states, and it's here. And as we've discussed multiple times, just because a lawmaker has an R by their name doesn't mean they're pro-gun. I mean, half these people are to the left of Bill Clinton in the 1990s for the most part. They're just 1990s era Democrats running as Republicans.
Well, yeah, we gotta sniff them out, and we gotta get them out. And I wondered if you did seen this poll, by the way. It looks at gun ownership, and apparently, the way it breaks down is that there are more Republican women who own guns than Democrat men. What are your thoughts on that?
It wouldn't shock me, because most conservative women are tough as nails. They don't want to be abused. They have seen how society works, and the simple premise of when seconds count, cops are minutes to an hour away, they understood that message. They no longer resort to believing that the state will protect them, because they saw during the 2020 summer of love, the state didn't do any of that. Government ain't going to be there. Government ain't going to show up. And I can tell you this, my wife, who makes me look liberal, she is extremely conservative. She packs, she carries. She is very active in the Second Amendment community, but more importantly, as a mother, she knows that she is the first and only in the line of defense for herself and for our daughter. That it ain't going to be the government there in the background waiting in the wings to rush in like the cavalry. No, it's her. And that's what conservative women understand. They understand that, again, when seconds count, cops are minutes to an hour away, and they're their first line of defense.
Well, tell her we said hello and keep being the mama bear she is. That's important.
Definitely will.
All right. Always a pleasure. If anything changes, hopefully as all Britain will feel the heat. But in the meantime, Luis Valdez, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Same here.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right. Justin Trudeau parties at a Taylor Swift concert while pro-Palestinian rioters are terrorizing Montreal. We touched on that a little bit earlier. And, well, we've got a bunch of stuff to get to. Just hang in there, my friends, all right? It's Monday. Stay warm. And stay listening to The Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. We're live and local on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy Monday. It is 8:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And like I said, it's Monday.
Oh, yeah.
It's chilly. But we're going to get you fired up and pumped up, maybe thinking about the spring already. Got a big country festival, Rock the Country Festival, for We the People coming to Ocala May 9th and 10th. And we've got a chance for you to win tickets. You need to text the word festival, F-E-S-T-I-V-A-L, to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to this two-day event, Rock the Country, Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and a whole lot more. So text the word festival, 20357. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. I think that event is going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Game show fans probably know the name, Chuck Woolery. He did a great job hosting some of these game shows that we would watch, including Wheel of Fortune. He was there before Pat Sajak. Mm-hmm. Well, Chuck Woolery is also a conservative and had a blog for a while and tried to educate people. And he just had a really comforting kind of a personality, yes. You know?
It came off real.
Yeah. And but he passed away in his home in Texas with his wife present. And it's Blunt Force Truth was the name of his podcast.
Yep.
Co-hosted by Mark Young. So, yeah, he obviously he had an impact on a lot of people. And I thought he did a great job. And he is gone at the age of 83.
He kind of brought you were talking about, you know, that very relaxed delivery when he first was doing Wheel. After the first couple of days, the producer came down and said, I'm not really sure what you're doing, but I think it works, because he was more interactive with guests and, you know, than maybe game show host had been before that.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make them a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
That way the whole game would have a better feel to it, you know, that everybody's enjoying themselves.
Yes.
Because, yeah, put in that circumstance, people are going to be exceptionally nervous.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to, you know, all the right answers when you're home on your couch.
Exactly. That's so true.
Yeah, he's going to be missed. He was one of the good ones.
We wish Tammy Duckworth would stay home on her couch and not leave it.
And not talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the left of center senator from Illinois. She was on CNN State of the Union trying to rip on Tulsi Gabbard. Okay. Look, we know you're going to try to knock down any and all the picks that Donald Trump is making.
Of course.
But this one.
Really?
Dana Bash, you know, kicked it off with her, you know, line of questioning. You know, let's turn to former Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who the president-elect tapped to serve as director of national intelligence. She's a critic of U.S. intelligence operations. Wouldn't that be good to have somebody who's critical of them?
Yeah, they need it.
A critical eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, toward making it better? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She has promoted Russian propaganda. Let me tell you what she means by that. She wasn't all in on Zelensky and sending a bunch of money there. But the left would call you, like, sympathizers of Russia. They did the same thing to Tucker Carlson. And all he did was just ask questions like, is this in our best interest? What's the, you know, what is the mission? What is the hoped-for outcome? I mean, he basically asked questions. They go, he's working for Russia!
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what they do.
They did.
And then Dana Bash, not done asking the question, because, you know, these people, their egos are so big, the question's longer than the answer. But she says, your fellow Democrat, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, called her likely a Russian asset. Man, that is,
That is...
It's pretty strong.
It is. You better back that up.
But then she says, now you and Tulsi Gabbard are both veterans. You served with her in the House. What do you think of her? They already had this pretty much rehearsed.
Yes.
Duckworth says, well, I think she's compromised.
That's a strong, strong word when you use it like that.
I think by going to Syria and basically backing, you know, a brutal dictator there, I mean, Russian-controlled media called her a Russian asset. Yeah, that's called propaganda. That's what the Russians and the Chinese do.
Amazing.
It's frightening.
And you said she's from Illinois. She's just heavy on the annoy part.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
So, you know, on CNN, also a senator, this time a Republican, was on there and said, well, you know, you should be careful what you're saying. I think it's dangerous. He said it directly to her.
Good.
To Tammy. They're on a first name basis. Mm-hmm. Listen, I got a lot of respect for Tammy. And I've known her for years. We served together in the House. But for her to say ridiculous and outright dangerous words like that is wrong. You got to keep in mind, Tulsi Gabbard is still a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. She commands the reserve unit here in Oklahoma and Missouri. If she was compromised, if she wasn't able to pass a background check, if she wasn't able to do her job, she wouldn't be in the Army. So Tammy's absolutely dead wrong on this, and she should retract those words. That's the most dangerous thing she could say. That a United States lieutenant colonel in the United States Army is compromised and an asset of Russia. Mm. It's actually sad to hear her say that. When I heard her say that, I thought, I wonder, is this political? Because she's upset that Tulsi Gabbard left the Democrat Party because they went woke? Because I know they actually got along when they were in the House. She knows Tulsi Gabbard. She knows her heart. She has a heart to serve, and so I think that's probably more politically motivated than actually has any truth to it.
No doubt.
What a rotten thing to say about somebody who has sacrificed and served mm-hmm. their country, risen through the ranks. But, hey, we shouldn't be shocked that, you know, that somebody who's in the military or from the military doesn't get a proper amount of respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the part of the MO of the left, it seems like, these days anyway. All right. Holiday food drive going on, Letchworth County Public Schools. Drop off at Lincoln Middle or Westwood Middle. You have until December 14th to drop off food, until December 17th to drop off monetary donations. And we've got a lot more to talk about coming up on the Monday edition of the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Happy Monday. Stay warm. Still really hadn't warmed up the way I thought it would by now, but it's going to creep up into, what, 70 maybe?
Oh, it's up. Yeah, we'll see the 70s, upper 70s this week, but it's a blistering 48 right now.
Ooh.
Oh, a heat wave, yeah.
Well, it's not usually that bad when the sun's out.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I had the convertible top down, tooling off to St. Augustine yesterday. Yeah. Oh, it was getting packed. Waiting for the lights to light up in St. Augustine. So it was a busy, busy place, but it was fun. It was a fun ride. And a little Lucky Charm, little green
mm-hmm.
machine. All right, we've got a lot to talk about. This would be like great weather for, I don't know, like an outdoor festival of some type. And apparently... quite a controversial undertaking, possibly. Have you heard anything about this Wildflowers Music Park proposal? There's some folks, you know, from the Melrose area and other Alachua County folks that are trying to, I guess, build a music venue that would be rather large, possibly drawing, I don't know, 20 to 30,000 people. I go through Melrose most of the time, depending on which way I take going home. And I can tell you, you've got small two-lane roads. Some are not in great shape to begin with. And you want to bring 20 or 30,000 people in there over the course of a weekend and do that, I don't know, what could be many times a year. I don't think it makes sense at first blush, but I'm willing to, well, find out more. And I know joining us at 9:05 is going to be Brandy McKinney. Now, I think she's part of a group called FACT, Farming Alachua County Together, that is not for this issue moving forward. I want to stop it. Is there a better place? Is there an area that really has more infrastructure? That's part of the big thing, is you've got to have the roads to move the people in and out. Otherwise, you completely lock everything up, and local merchants, local farmers, but just local people would find it really impossible to travel these roads. They would become impacted to that degree that quickly. But we're going to get into that further in about 30 minutes. All right, so stick around for that. Meantime, let's check out the old report card for Joe Biden. He gets an A for sleepwalking, apparently. How you can sleep standing up? I don't know. I think this guy's got it down. No, there's major concerns because, well, he was on the world stage. He's at the G20 Economic Summit in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I mean, he just looked like a bit player. Like, he wasn't enthusiastic. He wasn't with it. He was relegated to the back row of the stage. He ignored questions. He blew off the traditional press conference. He missed a key photo session with the world leaders and made one statement while appearing disheveled and then just walked away. It leaves you with no feeling of confidence whatsoever. But at the same time, basically, he signaled a huge policy reversal. He approved the use of landmines in Ukraine to stop Russian troops.
That seems like a crazy thing. I mean, we spent decades trying to clean up landmines after World War II. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, they were still finding them in England a few years ago, I think.
Oh, yeah, people would still lose limbs and stuff. Long after that, those things have been planted. Yeah. Of course, very, very dangerous, difficult to, to take care of after the fact. Anyway, that coupled with his approval of Ukraine firing U.S.-supplied missiles deeper into Russia. And so now you've got Russia using experimental ballistic missile over Ukraine. So things are notching up. All right. Where's Kamala Harris been? Where's she been all week?
All week, last week. How about the day after the election? We haven't heard from her since.
Well, apparently she's vacationing in Hawaii, but I don't know what that, when that begins or ends. Officials said she deserved a break.
Maybe she's paying Oprah to stay with her.
She deserves a break. She only has to last for 2 more months.
I know. Doing what?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, she got 2 months left and she won't have a job. She can't suck it up for 2 months. Mm-hmm. She deserves a break. Okay. And this comes at a time when Biden actually could use some help, even though she might not provide much of it.
Well, still, help moving around, getting out of his chair, that sort of thing.
Well, no, she could literally be somewhere. She could read a teleprompter probably better than he can. No,
well,
I'm just
that's
saying.
That's probably true. That's probably
true. You make the appearance.
Yeah.
But man, when.
Yeah, but does she want to run around the world as the loser? I don't think her ego will let her do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She doesn't have to. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. But you have to have some representation. In other words, we need to remind the world that, hey, we transition in power all the time.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it could take place, every 4 years. And that's what makes our country great, is that, we're going to do that. And we're still vigilant and watching our enemies and looking out for our allies, even in the midst of all of that. But when she goes on vacation and Biden...
Permanent vacation?
He's checked out.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. He might never be able to leave, but he definitely checked out of Hotel California.
Big time.
Yeah. Meanwhile, President in waiting, President-elect Donald Trump, continued on his pace, a pretty good pace, of naming the aides and cabinet officials. He wants to get things rolling. His pick for AG, Matt Gaetz, blew up, I guess.
Yeah.
But he already had, Pam Bondi ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I think she'll fill that role very, very well. He also named economic team led by Treasury Secretary Scott Bissett, and I'm reading some things about him, and it looks like he's going to be a great pick. I honestly don't recall ever hearing his name before.
Right.
So he's kind of an unfamiliar
unknown,
to most people.
Yeah.
Russ Voigt will be the budget chief. All right. So it's just it's the waiting game. I mean, we just have to make it across the finish line January 20th and get this country into much more capable hands. And it can't come soon enough. So hopefully the cool heads will provide. Hopefully Trump has already been reaching out to counterparts, maybe in China and Russia.
Yeah.
It's certainly Russia, I hope, and saying, hey, don't do anything rash. We're going to sit down. We're going to iron something out. You know me. You know, I can work out a deal. Nobody's going to gain from more death and destruction.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, Putin will heed that. We hope. We'll see. But, yeah, hoping for the best, for sure. I mentioned this kind of quickly before the break, but there is a holiday food drive going on for the Alachua County Public Schools. They're helping to organize this. Donations of food can be dropped off at Lincoln Middle School and Westwood Middle School between 10 and 2. The district office on East University from 8 to 4. And the deadline to get food there is December 14th. Deadline for monetary contributions, December 17th. And, it is designed to feed the hungry in our community over the holidays. The district launched its annual holiday food drive. This provides boxes of food for more than 800 families last year. So they look for food items or money to help to get the people through the winter break in December, because so many families rely on the school for meals for their children. And we don't want the kids to go hungry. So
yeah.
Thanks in advance for any and all help that you can give to that. We were talking about Joe Biden a little bit. Joe Rogan, he actually...
He's the good Joe.
Yeah, he said that, look, this guy's going to... He might start World War III and not even kind of really realize it.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan criticized Joe Biden and the Ukrainian President Zelensky for trying to start World War III days after Biden gave the approval for Ukraine to use the long-range missiles. In an interview with Scott Storch, a record producer and songwriter on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, Rogan admitted that he does not feel safe knowing that Ukraine is launching missiles into Russia. He questioned how Biden was allowed to make significant actions, such as approving the usage of those long-range missiles that, will go within the Russian mainland. And he said, I feel safer knowing that, Trump is coming into office, but I don't feel safer right now. Right now they're launching missiles into Russia. There is the concern that this really could turn into something that we don't want it to be. Now,
it's concerning, for sure.
And you wonder, okay, what's like the shadow government? What's their role in this? What is their aim? What are they attempting to do? Because remember, the last thing they want is for Trump to take charge on January 20th.
Yeah,
because those kinds of people, they're on his list to get rid of. So how much are they going to try to exert whatever influence they have between now and January 20th? I don't like it. But for now, we have to deal with that. Don't forget, we got a special guest. Brandy McKinney is coming in, and she's going to talk about what could be a big venue they want to develop in Melrose. And I think a lot of folks are not happy with it.
Mm-mm.
And we're going to talk to her about the pros and cons, et cetera, coming up at approximately 9:05. All right? So hang in there. Happy Monday. The Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you normally get your podcasts. Just click subscribe. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Welcome to my world.
Afternoons at 3.
It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. Oh, my, me, my. What I think, what I know, what I like, what I want, what I see.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Life is good. Appreciate. Yes. Good morning and welcome. Happy Monday. It's 8:48. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. I think it's interesting, Greg, that, you know, in a country where you could end the life of an unborn child, okay, you have the freedom to do that. You smoke all the cigarettes you want if you're age, whatever it is. Drink all the alcohol you want, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But boy, oh boy, in most areas, if you try to buy raw milk for human consumption, you are breaking the law, pal.
Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Now, I've been a raw milk, I guess, fan, you'd say. Do I always go out of my way to purchase it on a regular basis? No. Would I love it to be far more available? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I have concerns about how safe it is? Now, I do. Now, my understanding is that what is good for adults that could be in this unprocessed cow milk, it'll build up your good gut bacteria, could build up your defense system against other pathogens, etc. But if you're a baby or very, very young and your immune system isn't fully developed, for those people, that set of people, it might not be a good idea.
Right.
Well, you put a warning label on it. But there's other things you wouldn't give a kid because, well, at some ages, they would choke on it.
Right. So a little research, a little common sense here, Bob? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, allow Americans, especially in the face of, you know, what they're worried that raw milk could make you sick.
Right.
You're not worried about hydrogenated oil making me sick.
Which they put in everything.
You're not worried about the high fructose corn syrup that they put in everything. You're not worried about red dye number 5, 7, 24, 16. What?
You're twitching again, Bob. Must be the red dye.
Yeah, you're not worried about that. But did he say raw milk? Yeah.
Dangerous stuff. Yeah.
And so we'll see if things change. It's just, look, this is not the most important thing in the whole world, but it is emblematic of some of the other things we're dealing with. So we're going to try to make America healthy again. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being a part of that, Department of Human Health and Human Services. That's good. That's good, I think. And one flashpoint in the debate is unpasteurized or raw milk, which is growing in popularity, particularly among conservatives. Isn't that, would you think it'd be like the nut and berries, it's all got to be organic group? Mm-hmm. But it's not.
No.
The government and some consumer advocates say the milk can cause serious illness and should be avoided. But raw milk advocates say it has scientifically proven benefits. Allegedly, raw milk strengthens the gut wall, kills pathogens, according to Sally Morell, owner of P.A. Bowen Farmstead in Brandywine, Maryland. And then in human studies, and these were done in Europe in the last couple of decades, we have less asthma, less respiratory disease, less allergies, fewer allergies in children brought up on raw milk.
Interesting.
More states have been legalizing the sale of raw milk products, responding to growing consumer demand. But in Maryland, there's still a ban on selling raw milk products for people to eat and drink. Morell sells her raw milk products with a label that says for pet consumption only, avoiding the issue of regulation, which we've seen here in Florida.
They get creative with the labeling, yes.
Recently, there's been a big push to tell people that raw milk is dangerous. Oh, they've been doing this forever.
Mm-hmm.
But we probably have 20 million people drinking raw milk in this country who know it's not true. Sarah Sorcher has a different view. She's with the Center for Science in the Public Interest, a food watchdog group. She's against the growing push to put raw milk on more Americans' grocery shelves. Hey, we never said we wanted it on America's grocery shelves.
Right.
You don't want that stuff to sit.
No.
You want to make sure that your source is good and clean and it's been kept, you know, refrigerated.
Some family stores. Yeah. I bet there's some farmers who would love to sell you some milk for your pets.
And maybe that's part of the rub that that the supermarket may sort of be kind of bypassed. Yep. It's become an issue recently because a number of states are passing laws that open up the market for retail sales of raw milk. But when we're talking about putting it on grocery store shelves, you have consumers who may have no experience with the product being exposed to that risk. And we're going to see more illness, more hospitalizations, potentially more deaths as a result of these policies. Again, what this person is saying is that American consumers are too stupid.
Yeah, we're talking about
and that they'll probably feed it to their, you know, underdeveloped child and try to kill them. That's what they're saying. You're too dumb to make an assessment. But yet you could smoke yourself into lung cancer and drink yourself into cirrhosis, and that's perfectly okay.
Right.
No, I mean, it's
nothing
just,
to see here, right?
It's absurd.
It is.
And all the junk that is pushed and promoted to put into our kids' bodies, and they're worried that, yes, there is a small risk in very young child and raw milk. That's true. But you just put a warning on it.
Right. Let people know if they don't know. But do your homework on stuff like that. It's not that difficult.
When they looked at the amount of raw milk that's being sold versus pasteurized, they'll compare that to the outbreak rate. They found that raw milk is 150 times more likely to cause an outbreak than pasteurized milk, she said. So there's certainly a potential. Now, you know, not only is she cooking the milk and killing all the enzymes in it, she's cooking the books, too, this lady.
Sounds like.
Yeah. So anyway, this lady that is more for the idea, she points to the largest milk-related outbreak in American history. It was in 1985, caused by salmonella in pasteurized raw milk.
Come on.
A single Illinois processing plant sickened nearly 200,000 people and killed 48.
Ooh.
And that's pasteurized milk. Yeah. It's just...
What would Louis say?
Pasteur?
Yes.
He would say,
That's probably pretty... That's about right.
What did the frog say when he invented pasteurization? I don't know. Anyway, I just think that's it's interesting that they're so concerned. Oh my gosh, raw milk could be dangerous, but all the other garbage
chemicals,
that's on the market,
chemicals they put in everything we eat.
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's perfectly okay.
FDA approved, no problem.
If Archer Daniels Midland comes out and says raw milk's okay, why do I have a sneaking suspicion that all of a sudden laws would change in every state?
Yeah.
Where do I get that crazy thought?
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully, RFK Jr. will remedy that. I remember that they thought I was crazy. I was in North Carolina, and I said, hey, I want some of this apple juice. But not pasteurized.
Right.
Oh, we cannot do that. Oh, that is against state law. I said, I drink it all the time.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to do that. And my family kind of made a little bit of a joke out of it.
Yeah
Dad, you're going to go to the Apple Festival and tell them how it is? Well, sure enough, a few years ago.
Oh, that's funny.
A few years ago?
Yeah.
They changed the law.
Really?
Yes. I win again. The people are welcome.
Mm-hmm. And no charge whatsoever for your free advice.
Yeah.
You could charge, but nobody will pay.
Didn't get anything for it.
No.
No.
No. Well.
Just being a good American. Just being a patriot.
Yep.
Just looking out for your gut bacteria.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hey, we've got a special guest that's coming in, Brandy McKinney. She's going to tell you about, are they going to build this big music kind of forum in little old Melrose, Florida? Interesting what they're trying to develop there. We'll talk to her all about it. Coming up next, right here on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Here's what's trending on The Sky.
Ukraine firing U.S.-made missiles into Russia.
This administration seems to want to make sure they get World War III going.
The news that's trending.
End of January, President-elect Trump comes in, and everything will change.
The news that's now.
I'm extremely happy with my cabinet.
The news station.
We have a window of opportunity, and we've got to be ready to govern.
Now, more news.
Updates every half hour.
Breaking news at once on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.